There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Hour number two on this Tuesday. Phone number and the text line, 343-0106. 343-0106. Also, use the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can leave us one of those talkback messages by using the microphone icon on the front page. Records it, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. This show or anybody else who's dialed into their email, Morning Show and Jeff Show and all those. So you can use that to talk with us. And I want to start off this segment as well and say, brought to you by my friend Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If, you know, this year for FM Talk 106.5, we turned 16. So, and Leanna made a great graphic we put on social media with our driver's license. The radio station can now drive. But my friend Trey's business can now drive and also vote in state and national elections because they're 18-plus years of getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And it's something that maybe you've been walking past. It's a garage that's chock full. You know, garages are cool to put cars in. If your car's never seen the inside of your garage because of junk in there, or a storage unit, you're paying every month on that storage unit and you don't give a flip about anything in that storage unit. You want to get rid of it or at least pare it down to half and get a smaller unit. When are you going to do it? Well, it's easy when you have backup from Train the Crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Junk inside a house, outside a house, I mean, big stuff. Above ground pools, trampolines, swing sets, storage buildings, they can handle all that stuff as well. So if you've got that kind of project that's been kind of hanging over you, go ahead and make an appointment today and get it done. And when I say an appointment, a good old-fashioned appointment too. Not this, they'll be there sometime between 6 in the morning and 7 at night. This stuff that doesn't work for people who have jobs and lives and children and all those things. No, it's an appointment where when you go online or call them, their phone number is 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll find the day you want to do it, the time you want to do it, and they set an appointment. They show up. All you do at that point is you point at the junk you want gone. They'll quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes. They get to work. You stand back and let it happen and just take peace, and you're getting that project done. So do it with my friend who's been doing it for 18-plus years. Trey with the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, welcome back into studio. Good to see this man. Congressman and friend Jerry Carl, good to see you.
Great to be with you, Sean.
Kind of snuck a little listen to eavesdrop in at you and Jeff talking the other day, so you were coming back from D.C.,
Yeah, I'd been up there. I'm still trying to work on the Maritime Commission. We're still on the list. We're still top of the list, for that matter. But it's not moving very fast.
And explain to folks who didn't hear us talk before. The Maritime Commission is?
Well, there's actually five members, and basically they hear all of the lawsuits / issues that the maritime community has, whether it be with the federal government or with individuals. It's like the Supreme Court. I hate to use that term, but it's like the Supreme Court of water.
Okay.
And it deals with foreign countries as well as our ports nationwide.
Well, that's kind of fits in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it does. And I've learned so much. I was up there, and I actually got to sit in a room full of maritime folks as well as all the unions. I got to talk to the unions about issues, which I found fascinating because obviously we're not exposed to much of that down here. But it was nice to be able to get educated further on the maritime issues.
You know, speaking of maritime, something we talked about a couple times ago when you were on with me, and we hadn't even talked personally about it for an update. I was worried about, as the tariffs came in, and at that point was talking about the $1 million fee on Chinese-built ships, no matter how they were flagged, coming to U.S. ports, and talking about a motivation to get the U.S. shipbuilding back up to a level. You had talked about a Ships Act or Ship for America Act.
Yeah, there is an act. It was signed in. What you'll see us make a deal with South Korea. South Korea is already investing in ship companies here. I think they just bought a piece of Austal. I know they bought a big piece of the one up in Philadelphia. So they're spending the money in the States. But we don't have the ports and the facilities to build the volume that we need. So we've got to find countries that we can work with. And South Korea seems to be the most makes the most sense.
Okay, so because for people who didn't remember those conversations, and I may have the number not exactly right here, but on the high seas, Chinese built. Now this is not flagged, jar, or crude. This, but they built them in China.
Right.
Were 80%.
It's 80%.
80% of the ships on the high seas built in. And they could be flagged differently and crewed differently, but they were built in China. So if we're going to make this change, it's a substantial number of ships that we would have to produce here or with a partner like South Korea to get that to where somebody would have the option if they want to do business with the United States to say, okay, I can buy one of those South Korean, one built in Mobile or Philly, you know.
Right. So you got to keep in mind American flag ships, they're ruled and managed by American laws. They're staffed by usually Americans. It's usually the unions that will staff those.
But they're not the majority. I mean, you get out there as Panama, Liberia, you know.
Yeah. Well, you can go to Panama, and for, I think, $1.2 million, you can get it flagged under a Panama flag. No one, you know, but the whole idea for me and where I found the most interest in it is during war times. How do we move that? How do we move our how do we move our secrets? How do we move our bullets? How do we move our gauzes? How do we move?
And the days of the merchant marine.
We used to have a merchant marine fleet that would do that. Now we got private contractors that we actually contract with, and it's working great. But to have more American flagged ships is what we need. We need an incentive for these American companies to be using American ships. So that's the whole idea of the Ship Act that we were talking about earlier.
So this would incentivize this kind of investment you're talking about.
Yes, it will. It'll give some hefty discounts to American companies to start using American ships.
You get to talk
because
to those
right
folks
now that, they can buy a Chinese made ship for half the price, and they don't have to wait years for it. So
right, I mean that's the same way people bought whatever tennis shoes or televisions or whatever because they were so much cheaper. Same thing now, higher dollar point, but still the discount the same on those ships. So now we have to get those that production up, but they also have to be priced where a company can afford them.
Yeah, a company is not going to spend an extra million or, you know, half a billion dollars.
Yeah, let's talk about
more.
Ship money, $500 million.
I had to beef my thoughts up there for a second. It would be foolish for them to do it that way, but if through the presence of the act and they're going to add more to it, so I understand, you'll see some discounts that will go to those people, companies that actually purchase those ships.
Okay.
So we need to really feed that, especially being in a port city.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have an active role in that. That's what I've been doing for the last 6 months. I've just, every time I can have an influence, I wrote a paper on it. I'll send you the white paper another time. But I literally wrote a white paper on it, some of the stuff I'm learning. So
this is interesting. And by the way, this audience, as you know, this FM Talk 106.5 audience, I think, knows something about everything.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty broad.
This texture says, a 25-year marine surveyor by trade, I can tell you Chinese-built vessels are horrible.
Yep.
So
like everything else they make, they're cheap.
You know, and I wouldn't have transferred, like, talking about, I always say cheap Chinese crap, but I never thought about cheap steel, metal crap.
That's all they make.
It says Japanese ships are far the best on the water right now, but Chinese are horrible vessels.
Well, he should know better than anyone. So we
That's
do have a good relationship with Japan, obviously, but I have not heard any conversations about Japan being involved in it. But they easily could be.
Yeah, I never did think about it. I mean, it should be logical if the tennis shoe or other product is subpar. I just never translated that into a ship.
The Chinese, when they make something, they're always looking at saving pennies.
Sure.
So they'll pull pennies away from something to make it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper until they finally get it down to a dollar. They do the same thing with their ships. They do the same thing with their watches. They do the same thing with everything.
Yeah, I guess why I don't know why I didn't. You told me a watch. Okay, I understand you, Jerry. Yeah. You tell me this other plastic product. Okay, that makes sense. I don't know why I just was blind to the fact that, you know, the ships would be inferior. I guess because they all look like they're doing good from the outside.
Let me give you an idea. The Chinese Navy, for example, if they're so proud they got more ships than mm-hmm. we do. They do. They've got more ships than we do. But the range on those ships is only 500 miles.
Because it can't hold enough fuel?
Right. Fuel. So what's within 500 miles?
Well, Taiwan.
Exactly. So when they talk about their fleet, it's not a worldwide fleet. I mean, we can launch ships. We can refuel. We have gas stations at sea
mm-hmm.
Where ships can pull up, not literally dock to them, but they'll run side by side just like aircraft and refuel. I mean, we get pretty crafty, the U.S. Navy does, on how they can do that stuff. The Japanese, again, they built them cheap. They built them for one purpose only, 500-mile range.
There you go. Coming right back with Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile. Your questions on the text line at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 gets you through on the phone line or the text line. Our guest in studio, Jerry Carl, congressman who is spending time now looking at something that would be a big deal for us around here is the marine world. Obviously, that's not a far stretch to.
No, not at all. I mean, we're the port city.
Yep, got that right. Robert writes this, by the way, on the text line, says, "Good day, Sean. I hope this is, wanted to get you to ask Mr. Carl." Well, we are. "I believe that there are still hundreds of old Liberty ships in mothballs somewhere, several different locations, East Coast, West Coast. If that's true, why can't they be surveyed by marine surveyors to see if they would be worthy with minimal repairs and get them old babies back on the sea while they're trying to catch up on the American fleet? They don't carry as much freight, but probably not as fast. But if the government gave those ships some American operator under conditions, it could be a wonderful thing."
So I did a tour in the Philadelphia shipyard, and I'm going to pull a number out here. I may be wrong, but there's probably 100-plus that are mothballed there. Now, they're not the old Liberty ships. Most old Liberty ships, they made either scrapped them for metal or made reefs out of them. But there's still a naval fleet there that's been retired. The problem with it is they have robbed parts off of it that they couldn't get, props, so on and so forth, that would be just about irreplaceable to fix other ships.
Okay.
So, and we sell them to other countries at a discounted rate to get rid of them. But we've been paying demurrage for those ships to sit there for years. I don't know of a West Coast facility like that, but in Philadelphia is where this one's at, and I'm sure there's something on the West Coast. I don't think he's too far off.
Jerry in Fort Morgan says, "It's the Chinese steel that's terrible. You could build a ship in America out of Chinese steel, and you'll still have a piece of, well..."
Amen. Right. I totally agree with that. I mean, their quality assurance program doesn't exist.
And several people backing that up on the text line. I want to shift gears, and we can come back to that in a second. But being up in Washington, you know, I watched the Big Beautiful Bill, and I'm, you know, kind of find myself in the place where I know it's no surprise to you. People are mad at me, but I am consistent like others out there. We're going to spend more money. We're going to spend more money even beyond that new benchmark we made during COVID, and we're going to spend more money. Yeah, people argue that Trump didn't come in on a balanced budget mandate. But when you come in the first days, you have DOGE in there, you're going to cut money. Maybe I'm just a simpleton. I thought, hey, this is going to be a different day, and we're going to try to do something about this debt.
DOGE is going to be a waste of time unless you've got leadership in Congress.
They wouldn't even pass the stuff
it.
That, yeah.
Well, but, I'm just telling you. And I would have voted for that big bill. I would have read the whole thing. I know some of the members are raising Cane because they said they didn't read it and they missed parts of it. There's no such thing as a perfect bill. There's no such thing as a bill that's 100%. I would have gone along with that one simply to support Trump. We put him in there. We've got to support him and do what we can do. But my question with the administration would be simply, you know, where are we going to start saving money? We got to start cutting back. We got to start departments are cutting back. I know we have lawsuits. I know we have all this stuff pending. I don't care. Let's push on. Let them sue us a second or third time. Let's just push on. That being said, I think Congress themselves did a pretty lousy job of getting out there ahead of it and making the argument. You know, you got to hold your nose and vote on this. This is why I feel like we need to hold our nose and vote on it, because everybody was for it until they read it.
Yes, and I think it's going to come with pain. There's no process like, okay, somebody, I want to lose some weight, and one person tells you, oh yeah, all you got to do is just just park further away from the restaurant and walk, you know, that whole thing. Oh, we'll get some exercise. And the other person says, you're going to have to run, you're going to have to eat less, and it's going to hurt and all that. The person telling you that's going to hurt, they're the one telling you the truth. The system where we're going to cut money and we get to certain departments, we're going to take low-hanging fruit, but in certain departments we're not going to discuss. You know, the Pentagon thing, we're not going to discuss that at all. We're not going to discuss this other thing over here. Makes me feel, and I'm an outsider, I didn't serve in Congress, makes me feel like we're not serious.
So they're serious and they're scared to death. I went down on the floor one night and spent some time with the folks down on the floor. I still have all the privileges. Once a congressman, always a congressman. Up there, you just lose your voting rights. But I got to spend some time, and they're fearful. They're worried about the vote that they felt like they had to take. I think it's rightfully so. But like the Medicaid, they've allowed the Democrats to take that Medicaid, Medicare. You know, they're going to cut it. They're going to cut it. Well, you know, when it first came out, Mike Johnson said, we're not cutting your Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. And we knew I knew at the time that's not true. What they should have said is, we're going to take these people sitting on the couch in grandma's house,
able-bodied,
that can get a job, and we're going to kick them off the couch. There's not an American alive that wouldn't agree with that. And to do that, you got to dig into Medicaid and Medicare to do it, get them off the couch. So, yes, we're going to make changes, but they're needed changes, and they should have defended that earlier and made sure people understood that.
And they, you're right, they didn't. And by the time the narrative got built, it got built by the Democrats. And now you had that going back to the states, and you had representatives going, I can't vote for that because I'm going to get creamed because of the people back home have heard, you know, that I'm going to cut grandma's health care.
Yep. And we lost the argument. When you have to explain it, you've lost the argument. That's the old saying in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to explain it, you've lost it.
Well, then there's a lot of things that I think need explaining ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to cut. You know, we've got to find the things that we can cut, afford to cut, and then look again. And I thought that's where DOGE was so important. I mean, all they did was give us a shopping list. It's our job to fulfill it.
But from what I saw, that shopping list, Congress didn't want a bunch of items on that list.
Well, you don't want it because it affects your district. You know, Dale Strong doesn't want it up in Huntsville because it affects his district, just the opposite of yours. I mean, it's a push and a pull, but welcome to Congress. That's the way every bill that comes through there is that way. And you try to find that media, that medium that you can at least go, well, I think I can sell it. I mean, that's what you hope to get to.
But I think the way you get to that is, you know, in the past, it's everybody gets half the win they want. I think we're going to have to go into a world where we get half the loss we can tolerate to make a difference.
And that's a yin and a yang, right? I mean, that's just the opposite side of the coin. Yeah, I agree. But
I mean, people kind of kicking rocks on their way out of a vote, but it could have been worse. But they lost something, and so somebody else lost something, and somebody. But the nation as a whole gained.
Yeah, but you know, you get people in office, and they say, well, we're just going to sink the entire ship. That doesn't work.
No, that doesn't work. That's what I'm talking about, though. A compromise, but it's always seemed to be, from an outsider, a compromise up. A compromise in Democrats want all this stuff, and Republicans want all this stuff. Well, they'll get half of what they want. Instead of Democrats want to cut these things, Republicans want to cut those things. Well, here's the compromise. We're going to cut. We're only going to cut half of it. We're still cutting. Nobody's going to get everything they want.
It's got to start somewhere. I mean, it's got to be put in gear somewhere. Somewhere we got to start cutting. We got to be responsible and start cutting. Because what we're doing is irresponsible. But we haven't had a budget put together in the last 2 years. I mean, I put the budget together. I was part of the process with appropriations. We had a good package put together. We cut a lot of departments. We did. Well, I mean, we cut some of them down to the bone. We didn't need DOGE to tell us there was problems with some of these departments. But getting that through Congress has been absolutely close to impossible.
It seems to me if I was an elected official, it would be easier with DOGE because I'd say, hey, it's not me. But DOGE is identified. I didn't get, but look at this. DOGE has, well, you know, found this.
I don't look for other people to blame for my mistakes.
I know, but you'd be one of the few in Washington that don't.
But you know, when you get somebody like DOGE that just comes out and identified, it's easy to say, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I would use the word I agree. I'm not blaming them. I agree with what they're saying. Let's cut it.
Coming right back. More with Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. He and I are both zero-turn mowers guys. We both know each other personally. We both mow a lot of grass. I don't know if it's happening at your place, but it's been... It's not a week. It's going like on a four-day cycle right now, man, with the mowing. It's stupid. With the Bahia and everything, it's bad.
It is. I'm mowing mine, you know, every 5 to 7 days right now myself. So
listen, somebody listen to us and goes, man, I got that same deal. I'm tired of this. Time to upgrade. Zero turns, bigger decks. This is the time that it gives you some of your life back. What do y'all got in stock? What are you doing right now?
We've got a little bit of everything in stock right now, Sean. Anywhere from a 36-inch deck up to a 72-inch. We got gas and diesel models available right now. Also, our mower packages, we're marking them down for Father's Day. You can get into a mower package for as low as $159 a month. What that's going to include is the zero-turn mower, a 6x12 trailer, and your choice between steel or Husqvarna. We carry both steel and Husqvarna. You can either choose a steel weed eater and backpack blower or a Husqvarna weed eater and backpack blower. We're also going to throw in two fuel cans, the premix and oil for the handhelds, a roll of string, and straps to strap down the mower on the trailer. Like I said, on our homeowner version, the smallest one, the 42-inch zero-turn package, you know, they start at $159 a month. So we've got them all in stock. We can form any package to your liking right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale.
You have me grinning here. If you had watched it like a live cam, I'm grinning because what a perfect thing for Dad. I mean, you just set up everything he needs. I mean, there it is.
That's right.
On the trailer, sitting in the driveway. I can picture that.
Right. So the all the attachments to go with those handhelds as well. So the premix and oil, the string, the fuel cans, all of it is going to be included as well in that.
Okay. As people picture that, want to check it out, how do they find you in person, online? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, right here in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59 at Parrish Tractor. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171, or you can visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Thanks, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. I will say this without fear. Father's Day, it's all right to give Dad stuff to work. Mother's Day, nope. Be a bad choice to do anything for, you know, that would be inside the house. That would, you could lose a limb, lose a relationship. But I'm going to say with no exception that I know, any dad out there wouldn't go, thank you. You just upgraded my lawn ability. We're just different animals, men and women. Yeah. We are different animals.
Well, it's tools. Everybody loves tools.
I know, but it's for like, but you could say, well, you're giving me something to do work with. And we go, yes, you're giving me something to do work with. Yes, yes, more power out there. Good stuff. Just joining us, talking to Congressman Jerry Carl. We've talked about a lot so far. You've talked about the maritime world in this. Also want to get your reaction to the unrest in Los Angeles. I talked to Sheriff Birch last hour. You know, they've planned if something would come here, probably most likely not. But there are other cities listed too, Atlanta, Philly, for these riots. And you know me, I'm a big civil libertarian. The second somebody wants to shut down just regular protesting, I'm going to side with the protesters no matter what. But when you riot and you use violence and theft and stealing and destruction, you're not protesting anymore.
When you get to a point in a protest where you're throwing bodily fluids and cocktails and damaging taxpayers' buildings, paid for buildings, and most of all protecting our law enforcement that's out there on the front line, that's no longer a protest. That's a riot. That's an insurrection if I've ever heard of one. Now, they're sending the Marines in there, what really fascinates me, because my son being in the Marine Corps, I've really become, you know, a straight-up Marine Corps fan.
Mm-hmm.
And sending the Marines into a situation like that, which is not the first time that's happened. Bush did it back in, I think, 2010, into L.A.
Yeah, H.W. did.
I think it was in L.A. I think it may have been 08. But anyway, so it's not the first time. But, I texted my Marine Corps son last night and asked him what his thoughts were. And he said, it's a political ambush. Trump took the bait. Marines are not cops, and they're not an occupying force for that matter. Marines are shocking troops designed to move fast and violent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that what we're going to see? Because first time they spit in one of those Marine Corps' face or throw something and hit them, I would expect my son, if he was on that front line, to defend himself. So I'm sure they gave him a long conversation. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock, couldn't sleep, and I saw a post where the Marines were, they had moved them last night, bringing them in. So they were smart enough to bring them in at night. But it's going to be interesting. Also, I don't know if I sent you the website, but there's a website where they're advertising all the riots to take place.
No, I hadn't seen the link. I heard some discussion about it.
Yeah, either it's the 11th or the 13th. And there's a website that actually advertises it.
Like
and I stumbled across it. While we're sitting here, I may find it, send it to you. But I think it's the 13th. I'm pretty sure it's the 13th. There are about 20 different cities that they've got targeted to do this same thing in. So, which I found, that's pretty darn organized. You don't throw something like that together overnight.
Yeah, I do, and I have a worry, and Jeff said it at the end of his show, that he knew he and I were a little different. And what you say about, you know, your son is Marine and my Marine buddies, I don't want to encourage them. But, you know, they're good at killing people and breaking stuff.
That's what we train them to do.
They do exactly what we train them to do. Yeah,
they call them devil dogs for a reason.
Now, my family comes from the Army line. I'll say Army comes in to organize things afterwards.
Yeah.
But the Marines come in to the National Guard thing makes complete sense to me. Putting those Marines in there, it does worry me.
But the Marines are there to protect the federal facilities.
Correct.
They're not
but
there
the
to
second,
control the crowd.
But you
crowd.
Just said it. But the second the crowd,
it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
And just on the law enforcement side, Sheriff Birch said last hour with the throwing the Molotov cocktails, he said that is a deadly weapon. He said if that was happening here,
I'd rather be shot than burned.
Yeah, but he said if that happens here, their directive is you respond to deadly force with deadly force.
Yeah, well, you have to.
This is not just people yelling at them. I mean, that's part of the job. You know, you're law enforcement. You can get yelled at by the protesters, whatever. It's words. But when they throw a Molotov cocktail at you,
there are no rules at that point.
But these, you know, and I don't know if it comes from above in Los Angeles or the, you know, sheriff said maybe some of that and the individual officers not wanting to get sued and all that. But what are they supposed to do? I mean, when somebody, they can holler at you all day and say every, whatever, it's, you know, it's sticks and stones that break bones, not words. But when they hurl a Molotov cocktail at you, what are they supposed to do?
They have to defend themselves. I mean, I do see how that Democrats and how they would claim that's wrong to defend yourself that way. It's the 14th.
The 14th.
Yeah, I'll send you the website. I heard Trump say the funniest thing yesterday. I fell out of the chair laughing at him. I was watching it live, which I never watch TV. But they were asking him about arresting the governor in California.
Yeah.
They said, you know, did you see it?
Yeah.
He said, you've said you would arrest the governor in California. What would you arrest him for? He goes, Well, I'd arrest him for being, if it's left up to me, I'd arrest him for being a governor because he's the worst that's ever been elected. Yeah. True Trump.
Well, I mean, they ask a question, they know the answer they're going to get. I mean, what's Trump supposed to say? No, I'm not going to arrest Gavin Newsom for, you know, for doing this. It's always funny in Trump land, it's this. He's like, I know so-and-so, they were smart at their job, but they're an idiot and incompetent.
Yeah, it's a distraction. I mean, all this in L.A. is designed. I mean, it's a distraction, you know, to tear Trump down.
You show me the map of the number of places.
Yeah, it's quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, it's some of the South. We'll see if they organize. The longevity of it is interesting to me in Los Angeles that, you know, something like this could flare up.
Where do those people work?
Yeah, and even, listen, I pulled the story last night. I don't know where I said it. I guess by email or something. That they had said something to the effect of, it was like CNN or somewhere where I wouldn't thought I would have read it, said something to the effect of, they got down, maybe it was Newsweek, about three paragraphs down, then said, the protesters, they admitted like they were paid protesters. Mm-hmm. Like this thing that we've talked about in the past, even, it was either Newsweek or CNN, I don't want to attribute the wrong place, but I read it and they said to that effect that even they admitted that not all of these were organic protesters, that, you know, that there were people coming in, what Bruce Springsteen said, they're bussing them in from out of state. Yeah, there are people coming in to do this.
And I told you in D.C. we saw that all the time. This last night, I was there last week.
But to have a left lead.
The same lady runs up and she starts in my face about it. And I said, whoa, I'm no longer elected. I said, weren't you pushing the Gaza issue last time I saw you? And she just grinned and walked off. You know, as long as I've been in D.C., she's been there with a different argument every time I see her. So she's a paid protester. I mean, that's what she does.
You know, I do wonder if in that left world, are they organized? Are they unionized? Do they get days off? I mean, where's the people supporting?
I know at 5 o'clock you'll see them go home.
Wouldn't that be? I mean, that's like the old coyote and sheepdog.
They don't stay out there after hours.
Remember when the coyote and sheepdog at the end of the day of trying to kill each other? Then they check out and go to the bar. Yeah. Hey, Sam. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
So even it was CNN or Newsweek, one of them, somebody will find it, it even admitted that they're paid. But so those people are going to be there. I mean, they're getting a check. They're going to show up every day. How does this end?
Because
usually this stuff flares up for a day or two, and then you see it get nipped in the bud. But it seems to be growing.
Well, you got to get the governor involved. You got to get the mayor involved. I mean, there's got to be some pushback from them. To blame it on Trump is just total nonsense. Trump didn't start that. Trump is not the reason for the problems there. And we elected Trump to get these illegal immigrants out of this country, so support him.
All right, coming right back. More Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by my man Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. And I've talked about how my life changed. Waiting to get a silencer all those years. Had the manila file folder on my desk back here at the office. And you had to go one place, get fingerprints, go get the passport type photo there. Had to fill out this form, that form, send off. I didn't get it done. Just be frank with you all. I did not get it done. And it sat there for a year plus waiting to get it done. I was lamenting. We'll use that word. Probably Jeff say something else. I was lamenting that. And Jeff said, you know, I got the kiosk now at the store. I said, no. So you go to Stone Arms. They're just west of Snow on Airport. And you walk in, hang up like a button hook. Just go immediately to the right. And there's a kiosk right there online. You just put this information in. Go to next. Go to next. You put your fingers in here. Do the fingerprints. Go to next. Do the picture. I mean, it leads you all through it. And if you got any kind of question, anybody from behind the counter there at Stone Arms can help you through it. And Jeff says, expect about 30 minutes to do it. How about this? I got it done in 20. But I got my everything sent off in 20 minutes. And the old days of months or years to get your green light, to get your silencer, took me 2 weeks to get that. And yes, there's a great selection of silencers at the store at Stone Arms, plus rifles and pistols for them to go on there. And once again, I want to add in that they have true gunsmith abilities. So they're, the best way I can put it is they put together, possibly if I had a gun, my latest modern sporting rifle that that can fits on, did fantastic job, and they can tap other guns that I may have to be able to put that silencer on. At the same time, the same gunsmith repaired my grandfather's 1936 32 Marlin lever action, which that gun is so very, very special to me, the one he carried in a side scabbard on a horse and on a tractor, and, I mean, restored it in a fantastic way. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's from 1936 lever actions to modern sporting rifles, and a great place to get green-lighted for your silencer. Check out Jeff and the crew, Stone Arms, just west of Airport, I mean, just west of Snow on Airport Boulevard, and online at stonearmsinc.com. All right, continue our conversation with Congressman Jerry Carl. Lot to talk about here with what's next. We've got the situation in Los Angeles.
Right.
You don't know what the end of this looks like, and does it, you know, pop off on the 14th around the country elsewhere, and how will those
once I get the cameras pulled away from it, there'll be another distraction, and you'll see CNN and Fox and all the news channels run to film something else, and you'll see it die down after that. To answer your question, that as long as the cameras are pointed at them, they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
You know, and just pragmatically, I know that that's not the world of politics, but the pragmatic person in me looks at it and says, if you are protesting the arrest and deportation of criminal illegal aliens that are beyond just being here illegally, and you're gonna try to get people on your side by throwing Molotov cocktails, destroying businesses, and waving the Mexican flag, maybe you need to hire me for some PR work, because y'all are not doing it the right way. I mean, that's not getting people on your side. That's not going to make other Americans go, maybe they got a point.
No, you talk to any person that has gone through the process of becoming a U.S. citizen, they're going to be the first ones to tell you they're wrong. You know, you better love this country. And the last thing they're going to do is wave a flag from the country that they came from. So, I think so much stuff is free there. It's probably free weed and free food and free everything else. And it's just warm bodies that show up.
But that's the thing. I think they're being used as pawns, because what they're doing there is not going to help their cause.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not strategic. Even if you say you don't agree, and I'm with you, I don't agree with the cause, but it's not strategic. It's not a way to try to get people on your side to change a decision. It is just used as a bludgeon against Trump, and those people are being used as pawns in this.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
You know, absolutely.
The LA freeway is a good example. Somebody's going to get hurt blocking that freeway.
Yeah, well, I mean, you heard, Sheriff Birch said, if it happens here,
you pick up a hurt child and throw him in the car and try to get him to the emergency room, and you got that ahead of you. Trust me, I'll take care of my child before I worry about them. I think any father would.
100%.
Yeah.
And this goes on. Whatever the next thing is, I'm sure we don't know till then.
No, but until the next distraction, whatever that is. Something else, you know.
There'll be the cameras going to go
dust up.
The cameras are going to go to Washington on this weekend with the Army's birthday anniversary celebration. I encourage that greatly. I think that's fantastic. I do worry about. I see how it comes off. The idea of bringing out the military equipment. I'm too much of a child of the '80s and watched the Russians do that in the Chinese. I know people disagree with me. That's fine. We're in the world of disagreement. It bothers me, because it seems too Russian for me.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought pattern there. I mean, I'm not going to argue with the president. He's president for a reason. But for me, it's still a sensitive way to express myself.
Now, I have an army, members of the U.S. Army marching and all that. I love that. I love that.
It's not the army.
I want them out there. I want them honored. I want the crowds cheering for, you know, those members of the army. It's just this. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, it may be. It's just a hangover I have from growing up when I did. It just seems like I don't want to show our stuff.
I can remember one of the tanks, you know, in China is exactly where you're talking about.
Come look at all our stuff.
Yeah, they ran over that one kid.
Oh, you're talking about Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, would not move. So I that comes to my mind. But
I'm just thinking, even when they do it, like the Chinese did it and the Russians did it, when they do their May Day celebrations and all that, and they roll out all their, you know, mobile rocket launchers and tanks and stuff and parade them through the streets, I was like, that was just always – what the other guys did. Not we. Yeah. Did. I'd still have, and maybe some people say,
I'd rather be quiet and stealth.
Me too.
Me too. I don't want them to know what I've got.
I want to tell them, we probably don't have anything. We probably got nothing. What do y'all? I know what I'm saying.
I was on armed services.
No, here. I'm telling you what I tell them. You know things. That, yeah. I'm saying, just the way I want everybody to act in a civilized. I may not even have a gun. I may just make up the stuff I say about stone arms.
Yeah, I've been curious about you making those statements, whether you do own one or not.
I may have zero.
Maybe we should take a vote or something.
I have somewhere between 0 and 500 firearms. It might very well be zero. This all may be just a stunt to get attention.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so I mean, I probably don't.
I've done enough business with Jeff. I probably know how many you've bought from him. So.
Stone, be quiet.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up here, a lot to talk about here in the state of Alabama as well. This clearing the field by Tommy Tuberville. And that truly has been like I put myself on notice that if nobody runs against him in the primary, I will just because I believe in the process. So please, somebody else run against him. But nobody is going to risk capital.
There is a guy that has filed to run against him. But
good,
nobody's
thank
heard
God.
About it. Nobody knows about it.
No, but that means I don't have to.
Yeah, but you got to think Coach is such a strong defensive coach. Mm-hmm. So his game's always a defense. And I knew he talked to me. I'm a friend of his. I mean, he's got a lot of friends. But he talked to me about it, and he didn't give me the rollout date. He didn't tell me some details he left off. But we all knew what he was going to do. The raising the $3 million shocked me.
And $2 million in one day.
Yeah.
I know it's preloaded and all that, but still.
I wished I could do that, get $100,000 per donation. I mean, you can't do that in Congress. It has to be $3,600, I think, is the max. So, That's speaking volumes when you can raise $3 million in a week.
It's pretty strong. Pretty strong stuff. Congressman, always great to see you.
Great to be here with you, buddy. Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I will be out later this week, but you got a very capable guest host, and I'll be talking to you soon when I return.